Romans chapter 1 and verse 28. And according as they did not think good to have God in their knowledge, God gave them up to a reprobate mind, to practice unseemly things, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, covetousness, malice, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil dispositions, and so on. Romans chapter 7 and verse 22. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring in opposition to the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which exists in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me out of this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself with the mind serve God's law, but with the flesh sin's law. There is then now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. In chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the compassions of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your intelligent service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Finally, in Colossians, Epistle to the Colossians in chapter verse 1, if therefore ye have been raised with the Christ, seek the things which are above, where the Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Have your mind on the things that are above, not the things that are on the earth. For ye have died, and your life is hid with the Christ in God. When the Christ is manifested, who is your life, then shall ye also be manifested with him in glory. It will be evident from the scriptures that I've read that what is on my heart is the question of our minds. And don't know how others find it, but I find that my mind is the most unruly member of my whole body. Many things which come into my mind which I would rather not there. Many things I think. Question of course is to whether we do them is a different matter. But what comes into our minds, many times we seem to have little control over. Take some comfort from the scripture we read in chapter 7, in that Paul clearly had similar difficulties. But I don't use that as any way of excuse. But I think firstly we need to understand where this whole situation comes from. And that's why I read in the first chapter of Romans, because it was that they, according as they did not think it good to have God in their knowledge, God gave them up to a reprobate mind. Now that's a very solemn thing to happen. Of course it speaks about the wicked men of that time, but I think if we look around the world today, we can see many of the features that mark that time prevalent in the world around us. It says about the the word reprobate, it says a mind void of moral discernment. Well, we don't have to look far today to see that in action, do we? But that is the mind of flesh, that is the mind of man, and in a sense it is the judgment of God on man, who through his own will and self thoughts decided to put God out of his mind, and God out of his knowledge, should I say, and so God gave them up to a reprobate mind. So I think if we're to understand these things, we perhaps need to trace them back to their source. And really that is the source of all these sort of problems. But for the converted man, of course, he would find his desire to be pleasing to God, but then he finds that these other things come in which cause him to be distressed about these things. And that's why I read in chapter 7 of Romans, because I think we can all probably relate to what Paul expresses in these chapters. And seeing another law in my members warring in opposition to the law of my mind. Well, we probably all know something about that. But the thought that I had was that before he finishes the chapter, Paul gets the deliverer in view. And that's what we need to get in view if we want to get released from these things, to get the deliverer in view. I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now that is a very great statement. Jesus Christ, our Lord. The one who went to Calvary's cross, the one who suffered for our sins and bore the judgment of our sins. That is the one who we, through contemplation upon him, we can get free from these things. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. What do we know about knowing him as our Lord? We know him as Saviour. I trust all here know him as Saviour. I believe it is the case that all here know him as Saviour, and we give thanks for that. Mm-hmm. But what about knowing him as our Lord? Do we have a desire to serve him? Paul clearly had a desire to serve him and found these other things warring in opposition in his person. But he got the deliverer in his view. And then that's why I read the first verse of chapter 8, because I think it's lovely the way that comes in. There is now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. That's a current state, dear brethren. It's a current state. It is the eternal state, of course, of the believer, but it's to be a current state with us as well. Let us occupy ourselves with the things of our Lord Jesus and the fact that he has been into death, but he has been raised again by the glory of the Father. So we're to chapter 12. We get the be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, we undoubtedly all lead busy lives, and there's much to crowd in and cause occupation with other things, much to distract us from what is the really should be important to us, the renewing of our mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, we've known something of going through some exercises in these past few months, but do we see these things as being allowed of God, allowed of the Lord, to test us and to try his work in us, so that we can be, therefore, by considering these things and the renewing of our mind in relation to the things of our Lord Jesus, can we see the working out of what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God? Mm-hmm. It's not what our judgment of it is, it's what God's judgment is of it. And let us have an appreciation of these things. Let us contemplate these things. Let us contemplate and think about the way that the Lord, that God has seen fit to pass us in these past months, and just see what can be worked out with each one of us for his praise and glory. So lastly, I just thought of the verse in Colossians. We spoke about it the other day. If therefore you have been raised with the Christ, seek the things which are above, where the Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Well, have your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth. Well, we all know that if we occupy ourselves with the things upon earth, we'll become depressed and despondent. There's not much down here to cheer the one who truly loves the Lord Jesus. And that's something that actually is a good thing, really. If we truly feel the sorrows of things down here, we will understand a little of how God views these things, how the Lord views these things. But we should set our minds on the things above, where the Christ is. Well, he's been on this earth, he's been into death, but he's now raised and victorious at God's right hand. Let us have some impression by the Holy Spirit of looking at him there. We were speaking about it the other day, and it's really the operation of the Spirit in our hearts, the one that the Lord sought the Father to send in his absence to occupy us with the Lord Jesus where he now is. So let us, each one of us, dear brethren, set our minds on these things so that we might be the more occupied with them and therefore be more detached from what is here. Of course, we still have to follow our responsible pathways. I'm not suggesting in any way that we can forget about that, but let us be occupied with the things where the Lord Jesus is, for that's where he's going to take us, and it will surely lift our hearts and our souls to contemplate the place where he is. He's in the Father's presence, and he would desire that his own would be there with him, both in spirit and in truth. One day, of course, it will be an actual thing. It will be the portion of each believer in the Lord Jesus to be raised up to be with him in glory. Well, let us consider these things and let us set our minds upon them and be occupied with them, so that there might be a richer harvest of praise for the glory of God and for the glory of our Lord Jesus. For his name's sake.
Amen.